We've just had a wonderful Skype fellowship, and now you can go and listen to that to the audio above or beneath. And now we're going to hand it over to Pedro from Portugal, who's going to share with us God's word tonight. So thank you, Pedro. God bless your heart. Take it away.
Thank you. God bless you. I'm going to share a teaching, if I can call it so, about... It's from a teaching I heard a long time ago. Someone teach me about this subject, but I take it to God, and God showed me different stuff. So I will call it Praise Yah, Our Father. And Yah is one of God's names from the Old Testament. And God called himself many names, like, you know, the most known maybe will be Jehovah, has got to do with God as the keeper of his promises, his covenant with the ones that believe him. And also he has other names like Elohim, the creator, on his relationship with his creation, humankind. Also El Shaddai, the Almighty, which is not only mighty in strength, but especially above all, mighty in grace. It's a lot of grace. Also the Lord of Hosts, or Hosts, Jehovah, the God died for the ones who believe him. And also Jehovah Rapha, the gods that heals. That's just a few names I bring up here. There are others. The ones that strike my heart are those. And the name is a very important characteristic on a person, you know. It's part of what you are in some way. Like, for example, my name is Pedro in Portuguese. In Greek, it's a word that means a stone or a part of a rock. And that means it's tough and thick. And that's part of who I am. You can ask my wife. She will testify that. But it's also something that is reliable. You can count on it, you know. Like, by instance, David, the young king David, he took down the Goliath with a stone. So stone is not a bad thing, even if it's kind of hard. So in another example, my wife's name, Hannah, it's funny because I once looked for it in the Bible, and it's from an old Hebraic word, actually from Aramaic, that comes from another word that means to bend over or to stop for someone that is below, but with compassion, with favor, giving graciously. We could also translate that name like being compassion for the ones that are less than us, and not less in a social way, less important, but less happy, less healthy, maybe less wise, I don't know. And that's my wife, you know. If she could, she would take all the dogs and cats that she finds lost in the street, she would take them home. Because that's her heart. Doesn't mean she does that, but that's her heart, you know. And when we have a name, that name means something. So God also wants to tell us something about himself with his name Yah. It spells G-A-H. I just want to start to clarify that this is not a short name for Jehovah, as like some people may think or have listened. But in fact, it's a part of the name Jehovah itself. Like, you know, in the name Jerusalem, there's also a part of it that it means it's Salem. Salem was the old name for the city of Jerusalem before it was called Jerusalem. Like we can see that in Genesis 14, 18 to 20, when Abraham takes the tithes to Melchizedek, which was a priest of the Most High God and king of Salem, you know. So later it will call them Jerusalem. But doesn't mean that Salem is a short name for Jerusalem, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this, to clarify, Jah or Yah is a name that means that Jehovah, in his promises on this covenant, is promising and delivering salvation and freedom, is the source of praise and song of great joy for that freedom. That's what God did, and that's why he called himself Yah also. And we can see that through God's word. We're going to start here in Exodus 15, And in verse 2, this is a song that Moses sung with the people when they came out from Egypt. And we can read, "The Lord, Yah, is my strength and song." So they were praising God through song. "And He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation." This word habitation is, I look it up, it's not a house. It's a word, an expression, a word that means a rest, like if you were in a house, resting, that is made for the idea of celebrate beauty with praise. It's kind of weird concept. They translate it maybe a house because of that, but doesn't mean a house we live in. It's more like a safe place where you are with joy and praise. And that's what God is. And that's what they did when they sung to God for His liberation, His deliverance. Because they felt safe, they have great joy, and they praised God for that, singing. And this is an interesting part of God. So in Isaiah, we can go there too, to chapter 12, and we'll see another verse that tells about the name of God. In chapter 12, we'll read verses 2 and 3. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Yah, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." So here, God is giving us all these aspects, all these keys about this name. His name is salvation, his strength, is a song, he's not being afraid, he's being someone you can trust. Also in verse 3, he says, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." God is a source, a fountain of salvation. He's a continuous supply of salvation, of deliverance, of taking you out of bad or difficult situations. And that brings joy. Happens with joy. It's not hard, it's not heavy, it's not a struggle. It's done with God, it's really something that is joyful. Also in Isaiah 26, in verse 4, says, "Trust ye in the Lord," and this is Jehovah, "forever. For in the Lord Jehovah," and this Yah Jehovah, "is everlasting strength." This is everlasting strength. It's a strength that's never finished, never goes running out, you know. You can always trust in His strength, in His deliverance. And there's joy among it. So this means that God is eternally strong and is eternally a source of salvation, of deliverance. And it brings great joy and great songs of praise for that deliverance. Because it is also the God that keeps His covenant, His promises forever. So you can always trust Him. I'm going to read you another verse in Psalm 89 and verse 8. It says, "O Lord God of hosts," another name of God, actually it's three names, Jehovah Elohim Tazbat, "who is a strong Lord, Yah, strong Yah, like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee." Is a Lord that is strong, is the Lord that fights for the ones who believe Him, is the Lord that fights for the ones He created, is the Lord that keeps His promises for fighting for the ones He created. That's our God. And He always had fight for His own creation, according to His promises, and that always bring great joy, great deliverance, and songs of praise for the ones who always trust and believe in Him and His words. It occurs to me as an example, and you can check it out because we won't have the time to read it here, when the king of Assyria tries to invade Judah, and King Ezekiel, the king of Judah, turns up to God, and through the words that the prophet Isaiah prophesies, as God would save them, they get great joy and great deliverance. You can see that in 2 Kings 18 and 8, in chapter 19:2, or 2 Chronicles in chapter 32. But also, another account in the Old Testament, how God delivered his people from the Moabites and the Ammonites that were trying to invade them. There were two big nations of warriors that came to steal, destroy, and kill. That's what the adversary does, like Jesus Christ teached. And the king Jehoshaphat just looked for God, you know, he turned over to God, and not only they conquered this army that was against them, but they even took all the spoil that those enemies had accumulated from all the other countries they had invaded before. And the word says, you can read that on Second Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 25, the word of God says they take 3 days to recover, to recall all the spoil of the enemy. 3 days. Imagine going on the tents, on the camp, and picking up all the gold and the silver, and for 3 days they did that. And they didn't even have to fight them. God take care of them. So God does not only deliver us, save us from the attacks of the adversary and his persecutions, but they even get us to get better than we were before those attacks.
Yeah.
There are attacks on the health, or your finances, or your work, or the peoples you live in with, or even, you know, nostalgic from the past and the good things from the past. All those attacks, the adversary come after you, God will deliver it from them and make you feel better than you were. Not feel, be better than you were before you were attacked. That's Yah. That's the great God Yah. And another curious thing about this name is, I cannot say that it is in God's word, but it makes sense, and doesn't mean it's not true, if not in God's word. But in every human language, there is a word or an expression of joy that you can find in any culture that is very similar. You could say it's the same than this name, Yah. Like, you know, when a woman says, looks to a baby, a cute baby, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, so cute." Or she looks to a puppy or a kitten and, "Oh, yeah, it's so nice." Or, "Oh, yeah, it's such a nice flower." You know, that's expression that comes from the heart. A pure joy, you know. It's not a word that you learn in school or comes in a dictionary. It's something God put inside a human being. Or a guy that comes home from work, and he sits on the table for dinner, and his wife makes him his favorite dish, and he goes, "Oh yeah, that's great, honey." Or he sits on the couch and he's really tired from a work day, and he got his favorite beverage, a beer, whatever, and he takes a sip and he goes, "Oh yeah, I was just needing this." And this this comes from inside, and this is what God called himself. You know, it's a song of joy from the deliverance, from something God made for us. I'm going to read now, not me, I'm going to ask Hannah to read for us some verses, because she reads better English than me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, through Psalms, to some, there are more. We're going to start in Psalm 104, verse 35.
"Let sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord."
Yeah.
"O my soul, praise ye the Lord."
Yeah. Psalm 105, verse 45.
"That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Pray ye the Lord."
Yeah. Psalm 106, verse 1.
"Praise ye the Lord."
Yeah.
"Oh, give thanks unto the Lord."
Yeah.
"For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever."
Verse 2 of Psalm 111.
Okay.
Sorry, verse 1 before.
"Praise ye the Lord."
Yeah.
"I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great.
Psalm 130, verse 1, 2.
1. Praise ye the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise, O ye servants of the Lord.
Verse 9, 2.
Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Sorry, it's verse 9,
oh,
not
sorry.
2.
He sent... Yeah, 9 is here. He sent...
No, that's a quotation. Sorry, we are in the companion Bible. It's a mess.
Okay. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise he the Lord.
Yeah. All these names of the Lord are Yah. And this is a very special verse because a woman that could have no babies, he make her, you know, be a mother of children. And that's great deliverance for a woman, I believe. So, from here, I would like to read with you also the Psalms 147. And in this psalm particularly, it will bring us to another understanding of this praise to God. Let us read in verse 1 that says, praise ye the Lord, that's Yah, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. So God wants us to praise Him. It's good to praise Him. And why is good to praise Him? God is a God that is proud of Himself? No. Because it's good for us when we praise Him. It's great joy. And this spiritual thing about it, and I will share with us about you in a minute. So, a little bit more further, Psalm 149, also in verse 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. So, we are the saints, and we have a new song to praise God. We'll see it in a minute. We have it now by the Spirit. And I know you, I think you know what I mean. But let's see more about it. Verse 9. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. So, we have this new song that we can praise God. If we go to the New Testament, to Ephesians 5:19 or Colossians 3:16, it says that we can sing on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. This is our new song to praise Yah, our God and our Father. Also in Acts 2:11, when they spoke in tongues for the first time in the day of Pentecost, the word says that they speak the wonderful works of God. Isn't that praising God?
Yeah.
Speaking His wonderful words? Sure it is. In Acts 10, in verse 46, when the Gentiles speak in tongues for the first time, when it was given the Spirit for the first time to the Gentiles, the word says that they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. So speaking in tongues is a way to magnify God and speak of His good works. It's a way to praise Him. When we are pleased to God for His deliverance, for His salvation, and when He takes us to better place than we were before, we can magnify Him, give Him praise by singing in tongues. You know? My example, myself. Sometimes I find myself singing in tongues and dancing. It's not quite a dance, it's more a special way of being happy and shake my body in a funky way. Last time it happens was last week when I knew that Attilio and David were assisting to our Skype fellowship. I was full of joy and I was walking on the house like a catwalk, you know, speaking in tongues. And then was, what's going on with you? I'm happy, you know. And I just had to speak in tongues and you know, singing in tongues and just doing that funny moves because my heart was full of joy. Just for your understanding, why I was so full of joy. I know David and Atil for a long time. You know, we did great things to God and to his family. And know that they were with us in that fellowship, it really thrilled my heart. Because I know those believers of these guys, the believing of these guys, I know their hearts. For me, these guys, just for giving the image, they are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know. They won't bend over and they won't bow to nothing against God's will, you know. I would have no problem to walk with them into a burning fire of furnace, you know. Like, no problem. I know they're believing and their heart for God and His family and His Word. That's the kind of people I feel thrilled to have around, you know. I know there are other believers, I believe, that have that same heart, you know. Like my wife, I know she's not afraid of fire. She actually had fight some fires in their life. I mean, real fires. But I don't know if God put them through that burning fire of furnace, because she doesn't like smell of fire, you know. She gets in her hair, doesn't like, she doesn't please that, she's not pleased with that. So what I'm saying here is God has a lot of sons. And there's much more sons of God with this heart for God. And God is connecting them. He's making them to get together, not maybe physically, not in presence, but in spirit, in unity. And that makes God's word go through, you know? When these people, these sons of Him, have that desire to live God's wishes and put that desire in practice, God's will is going to break up in this world, in our time. And for us today, the name of God for us is more than Yah, is our Father, that's for sure. And the Word says also this is a living God. You can check it out in Romans 9:20 says, it says, 26, thank you, Anna. It says, shall they be called the children of the living God? Amen. That's what we are. That's what He is now for us. Our Father and the living God. In 2 Corinthians 3:3 says that we are living epistles of Christ written with the Spirit of the living God. Mm. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. In 2 Corinthians 6:16 says that we are the temple of the living God. Ye are the temple of the living God. In 1 Timothy 3:16 says that we are... The church is the house of the living God. It says, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So, we are the ones where God is living in. We are the ones that have God alive inside of us today. Amen. He's our Father. He's also the same God that has always has been. The one that keeps His covenant. The one that is the creator with His creation. The Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the God that heals, the God that gives freedom, salvation, with joy and songs of praise. Yeah. God has a lot for us to do, for us to make happen. When we believe His will and we do what He shows us, when we search for His desire and we desire to do His will instead of ours, when we put in motion God's plan to the return of Christ. God has a lot of sons with that heart. That heart that trusts and believes in His will and that heart to follow God's desire. The much of ours in unity in God, in His Spirit in us, with the power of God in operations, the more of us doing that, the more we can give praise to God. Praising in the Spirit, singing in tongues with joy, great joy and power. Praise our Father, Yah. And before I go, I would like to close with a old song that still warms up my heart and hope it still warms yours too.
You got
teaching. That was fantastic, brother.
Mm-hmm.